the Sarat and Murciano Radio Network is on the air, and let's start our show as usual with the business lunch hour.
Wait, we have a radio network?
We do.
All right.
Now to our Money Magazine for Chicago, and look who's on the cover today. It's Greg Hines from Crane Chicago Business, who covers local government and politics. Welcome, Greg.
Hey, guys.
I think we should start off with a story people are buzzing about today. Karen Lewis, any update? Do we know what's wrong with her?
We do not. I asked her people if they could update us, if there was an update, and I got a one-word email back. None.
Do we know where she is?
She's in an area hospital. They won't even say the hospital. They're not saying what it is. There's been some buzz that it's not real serious. She just didn't feel quite right, so she checked herself in for observation. My best guess, and it's only a guess, is that maybe there's a little complication from the stomach surgery she had not too long ago. It's real easy to catch an infection or have your body chemistry go off a little bit on that. That'd be my guess, but I don't know that.
All right, stand by for more on that. Meantime, let's talk about another, former local politician, Luis Gutierrez, who is in the news. And is this for real that they're drafting him for president?
Well, we're talking politics, Bob. It's always real. It's hard to tell. Luis Gutierrez's big thing in politics has been immigration reform. And the president keeps fainting in that direction and then doesn't follow through. And Mr. Gutierrez and the Latino community has frankly had it. So the word is now that they're thinking of drafting Luis to run for president in 2016. This is almost certainly a pressure tactic on the president to carry through on the latest word from the White House, which is he's going to do something by executive action right after the November election. But having been disappointed before, they could be disappointed again, at which point the question is, does Luis really want to run? He's notably not ruling out changing his mind after November.
He's an effective campaigner, that's for sure. He's a likable, engaging fellow, isn't he?
Oh, he'd be a real sparkler on the campaign. Yeah. Louis is a Chicago pal in the good sense. They broke the mold about 10 times when they made him.
Well, and also the thing is that he's a Latino, which there are very few going around, who could even vie for that. But it is met with laughter, like you were laughing, when you were saying that.
Well,
like,
I've known him. Well, I've known him for a long time, and first as a congressman, or maybe even before that. But I just don't think of him as being President Gutierrez.
Well, I don't either. Although heaven knows he's entertaining. Louis's first blast of fame was when as a new alderman who got kind of elected with Harold Washington.
Yeah, that's when I first
he took the floor
met him,
of the city council, and he was and to make the point that the other side was pulling financial stunts, he literally waved a money bag in the air.
Yeah. He's great
stunt.
He's a good showman.
But there's a scenario here where he could hurt the party badly because the Democrats now depend on Latinos as part of their core vote, and that would be the case in 2016. But there's also a scenario here that he could boost turnout, boost registration for Latinos, and endorse the nominee afterwards were he to run, presuming they treated him honorably and they invited him to the debates and gave him respect and stuff like that. But who knows?
Yeah. All right. To the governor's race, some new polling showing Pat Quinn leading Bruce Rauner. Meantime, the mudslinging continues. Has this been a record-breaking campaign in terms of money spent on TV ads?
In terms of Illinois, it probably will be. The figure has been floating around $50 million this week between what they're all doing. Rauner can spend whatever he wants. The Democrats don't want to lose Barack Obama's home state, so they're giving Quinn whatever he needs. And unfortunately, it's not translating into a discussion about what he can do about taxes or anything else. But it's, Quinn, why are you killing little babies with your bad department? And Rauner, why are you mistreating women and threatening to lean on them if they don't give you what you want for your business?
Yeah, we're just hearing more of that, spending a ton of money. Where is all this money really coming from?
Well, Rauner's money is coming from two sources. It's coming from Rauner. He's worth $500 million, $600 million. So this is like a 2 months interest on his stock portfolio that he's putting into this. The rest is coming from the Republican Governors Association, which gets it from big buck people all over the country.
But what about the Democrats? Where's that money coming from? I thought we were so broke.
We are so broke, but when it comes to politics, we always seem to find what we need, doesn't it?
I mean, but a lot of what we need, right?
They have a governor's association nationally that raises money from well-pocketed Democrats. A lot of it's coming from organized labor, which is probably in several million dollars at least so far. And, you know, there's various bits and chunks, like Chris Kennedy of the Kennedy family sent a $10,000 check yesterday, noticed in a report. So it comes in. Quinn will be outspent, but he's going to be competitive.
You recently wrote this about Bruce Rauner. There's the question of who's advising him and whom he might bring into office with him. He and his campaign just won't go there. Do you think this is why we're seeing his polling numbers drop? And, of course, everything could change when they debate.
Yeah, I do think, Bob, that is part of the reason why he's dropping. He's been in this mud bath with Quinn now for a good 2 months, trying to define Pat Quinn as an evil man, a bad guy. I don't think it's stuck. And with Rauner really failing to define himself against what Quinn's saying about him, it doesn't leave him with a much. If you're going to beat Pat Quinn, I think you need to present a positive alternative. Why should you be for Bruce Rauner? You need more than
Quinn. Because we're in trouble and the state's a mess.
Yeah, but Quinn's got raised enough questions about Rauner, about who he is and how he raised his money, that I don't think that's enough.
All right. To be continued, Greg Hines from Crane Chicago Business. What are we going to talk about after the election? Well, I guess we'll have the mayoral election to talk about for a while. Yeah, we'll come up with something.
It's a municipal sport.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Sir Adam Murciano rolling along with you on our business lunch hour break here. Time for a little money and meeting with Rachel Bellow and Suzanne Muchin. Now, why money and meaning? What does that mean, you two?
So businesses today, if they're paying attention at all, need to not only be selling products and services, but be trying to contribute to society, be giving back, doing good.
And not as a favor, but as a big market attraction, because the markets of the future, millennials and consumers generally, if they have, and all the data prove this, if they have a choice between two products and one of them is making a bigger message than just buy this, they'll buy it.
And we should say you two are in business together, aren't you?
We are. Yes. 17 years strong.
Oh, that's
best
awesome.
Friends and
who,
business
who
partners.
Does what?
I run it. I have all the ideas. She, you know, she tags along, and I pay her.
Now, when you say I and she, you have to identify yourself.
Rachel runs it. Suzanne tags along.
This is her fantasy. This is Suzanne. I'm Rachel's boss, and we're brand strategists, and we have a show on WGN.FM.
Okay. There you go.
So are you describing what already exists, or are you trying to change the world?
We're talking about a trend that exists now. In fact, there's a video that's going viral this week that Pantene just put out. The hashtag is Shine Strong. You can go and take a look at it. 46 million views in the last, 24 hours.
So it's already gone viral.
Correct. Well, it's all relative, right? But yeah, right. So here's a great example of a company, Pantene, who's decided they want to support a cause. And the cause they want to support is women, okay? Now,
why? Because it's a trend and they know, hey, if I want to sell more conditioner, more shampoo, I'm going to link to a larger social change message, which is women shouldn't be seen as any labels. We should have the freedom to be seen as people who want shiny hair.
Right. So the video shows all of these women in situations, same situation as men, but where the men are called the boss, women are called bossy. So it's trying to make
that's
this
part
point.
Of the video. So
yeah, right.
The point is, so you see this in the video.
Right.
And what is bad about the video then?
So our problem with the video is, well, we think it's great to link to a cause in a campaign.
Very powerful stuff.
Very powerful. You have to be authentic about it. And the bottom line for Pantene is, what do they really want to do? Sell more shampoo to women so that we have shiny, sexy hair for men?
I mean, well, first of all, Suzanne, I'm sorry, but I remember 2 weeks ago we were having a very important interview with an entrepreneur. You interrupted to say, how do you get your hair so shiny? So it's not like you don't care about shiny hair.
Yeah, who's their target audience? Well, young female?
All okay. Women who want shiny hair. But as Marianne asked before the show, she said, wait, and what does this have to do with Pantene? That's the problem.
Okay, but if you're the owner of Pantene, you can't, and you want to sell your product, there's not much. You can't just say, well, instead of selling a product to make your hair shiny, I'm now going to sell, I don't know, something that's very useful.
So let me tell you what they should have done. Great point. They have a locks for love type campaign where girls grow their hair very long and then cut them to create wigs for cancer patients. Hugely powerful. My daughter did it.
And it has something to do with Pantene.
And hair. They should be promoting that.
You're not
that
in other words, our
beautiful.
Objection isn't that it doesn't move you and it isn't a cool message for women. It doesn't sell Pantene.
All right. So you're thinking from the point of view of Pantene, this is not useful for them. But you are saying that they're linking to a message that all women want to hear. And maybe it's part of like an image campaign. You think of Pantene and you think of the image of a company that cares about women.
I think that's exactly what they're doing. Here's the problem, Marianne. That was the early days of cause marketing, like 15 years ago, where it was just enough to kind of vaguely link to a message. Now the bar is higher, which is, what do you want me to do about this, including buy your product? It just doesn't sell any better.
Why does a company like Pantene have two different messages that are social messages? One is cut your hair, grow your hair and cut it and give it to people who need it. And the other one, you know, the message that you're talking about on this videotape, why do they have two different things?
They shouldn't.
Do they have more?
They shouldn't.
They have another one, too. They have more.
Yeah, they shouldn't. They should stick with one cause. There's some great campaigns that are out right now. So have you seen the one that's called Run Like a Girl?
Oh, God. Google Run Like a Girl on YouTube. It is fantastic. And it's for Always, which is a
feminine product,
sanitary pad,
yes.
I think is the euphemism. Yeah. And actually, you know, it basically makes the point that girls learn at around 13 that running like a girl is like, you know,
waving
like
your arms around.
Whereas before that, if you say to a six-year-old, run like a girl, they run like at
full
speed.
So at what age are we teaching girls to stop being empowered
and that
by
does
their
have
physical
to do
body?
With the freedom.
Well, it's, I mean, the fact that it's used as an insult, whether you're 6 or 13. I have a problem with that already.
Exactly.
Well, we're perpetuating stereotypes.
Exactly.
Now. People need to see these videos we're talking about, and we should post them. Can we post that Google video as well?
Let's post both of them. We'll post the Pantene one first, and then on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Surratt and Murciano. And then we'll post the
run like a girl one. So you can see good and bad.
All right. Rachel Bellows, Suzanne Muchin. I know you you call this money and meaning, but you need something more accessible, more friendly. It can't sound like a PBS or BBC show. You ought to go with something like the Money and Marketing Gals or the Blank Gals. You fill in the blank.
Run like a marketing gal?
Well, I don't know. Trust me on the marketing, though. I'm telling you.
I do.
Think about it.
I think taking gals out of the equation was where we'd start.
Oh, well, you don't like that?
Not so much.
Well, maybe
really.
You could go with a word that's the antithesis of gals.
Guys?
But
babes?
Put it
guys.
In there with it. No, I mean in front of gals.
Market like a girl.
We'll take a meeting. I think we just did.
I'd go for that.
Let's take a meeting, Bob.
All right.
We're on.
See you next week. Thank you.
Great.
Whatever you're called.
Thank you.
More of the Business Lunch Hour coming right up.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN with Bob Surratt and Marianne Murciano.
Surratt and Murciano with Business Lunch Hour. CNET.com is the place to go. It's the website for technology news and reviews. And checking in with us this afternoon about what's new for fall is Ian Shore from CNET. Welcome.
Hi, Ian.
Hi. How are you doing?
I don't buy anything without going to CNET.com first and
comparing.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I was doing that before it was popular to do that.
Good for you, Mary. You discovered it. I read that Apple rumored to be showing off some sort of new iPad in a week or so. With the iPhone 6 Plus, are people really into the tablet market anymore? Isn't it all going, they call it like a phablet now, PH, right? Because the phones are so big.
Frozen tablet, exactly. Well, that's the big concern, right, is whether or not the tablet market actually has much legs in it. You know, we've seen that really the only two tablets that seem to be mattering much are the ones that come from Apple and the ones that come from Samsung. Stop me if you haven't heard this before in the smartphone world, too. And so the thing about the tablets, though, is that it seems as though people don't replace them as often. And part of the reason for that is that they're not on an annual upgrade cycle or biannual. So, you know, every 2 years, most of us replace our smartphones, and we get it for a subsidy, and we get it cheaper. We don't get that with tablets. And the other thing is that a lot of the tablets are actually just good enough already. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm using an iPad mini that's from 2012, and I don't feel the need to upgrade.
Yeah,
and
I don't feel the need either.
Exactly. So it's a real struggle for the market because obviously Wall Street and all the people who follow Apple are used to people upgrading at a ferocious pace, and that's not happening as much. And so it's still a large industry. It's actually on track to be selling as many tablets as there are computers out there. So it's not like it's tiny, but it's but the growth rate has definitely slowed. That's the concern.
Okay, so why don't we talk about some of the things that we're going to be able to see this fall, like smartwatches and wearables, for example?
Yes. So smartwatches obviously are a big to-do now. You know, Apple announced their plans for one for early 2015 a couple weeks ago, and so everyone's keeping their eyes out. There are still only a few of them out there that people are really gravitating around. One of them is by Samsung. It's called the Gear, and the other one is made by this startup from Palo Alto called Pebble. And so both of those seem to get a lot of attention. The differences between the two is that the Samsung one is focused a lot on Samsung devices. So if you own one, you're in this nice little kind of system here. And it has a color display and a camera on it in some cases. And the Pebble is really designed to work with any phone you have practically, as long as it's a smartphone. And it's designed with a black and white display, which allows it to last a lot longer. The Gear lasts about a day. The Pebble lasts for 7 days. There's also one by Motorola called the 360, which uses new software that works with Android, but only Android. So you kind of either, if you want to go for everything, you look at the Pebble. If you're an Android person, you can look at these guys. Or you can hold off and wait until Apple does its thing next year and see how big a splash that makes.
And tell me, do you think that in the future people will be wearing one kind of smartphone smartwatch or another? What's going to happen to people who have like really nice watches? Because I use my watch as a piece of jewelry.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Don't remind me. Yeah, Marianne.
Right. Well, and the struggle, of course, is that our smartphones in some ways, they don't need to be as personalized, right? Because they sit in our pockets or they're these kind of monolithic screens with, you know, glass and metal, right? We don't really care what they look like that much. I mean, it's nice to have a gold sheen or whatever, but otherwise most people don't care. When it comes to your watch, you're accessorizing, right? It's color with your pants or your shirt and all of this type of stuff. And some people take their watches extremely seriously. And so there is a real question about can Apple and all these other companies really break into it? I'll tell you right now, I've been using a Pebble for the last 2 years. It is not exactly a fashion accessory. I look like the nerd that I am. And so I don't know whether or not that's going to change. Certainly Apple wants to. And if you look in their website and you look at the advertising videos, they have like 6 different types of watch bands. They have all sorts of different colors. They're doing everything they can to really try and go after everyone from the small ones up to the Rolexes. And we'll see whether or not they can actually do that. We don't know. But Lord knows that when we look at how the smartphone market worked out, when Apple entered the smartphone market in 2007, everyone said, oh, this is a computer company. How can they have any idea how to make a telephone? Now we are here today, and they're one of the largest in the world. So I wouldn't count them out, but you definitely have to question how far can they get with this.
Well, I mean, maybe what they're going to do is follow the you know, younger people who maybe were not – I mean, our kids,
well,
they don't care about –
younger people.
Watching
right. Exactly. And younger people don't even wear watches.
They don't
now.
Wear
I mean,
watches.
When I put my Pebble on for the first time, it had been a decade since I'd worn a watch. And, you know, the only reason I wear it primarily, and the reason that any of these smartwatches matter, is that if you're one of those people who's constantly connected to their email, and I don't know about you, but I'm dealing with buzzing all the time and it nearly falls off the table sometimes, for me, it's a great way to organize and to actually be able to look through this information very quickly. I don't have to open up my email when I'm at dinner. I can just make sure that I see what's coming in. I can see if there's a fire, and if there isn't, I can move on with dinner and not have to worry. And that's one of the benefits of the stuff. But, you know, again, how many people are like that who are like me? Certainly construction workers may not need this. Certainly, you know, there are a lot of people in the world who have jobs that don't make it necessary that they're on email 24/7 every minute of the day. And so how large this market is, how many people are really interested, we don't know.
Yeah, Dick Tracy lives again, huh?
Maybe or not, right?
Yeah, we'll find out. And by checking CNET.com, we'll know. It's Ian Shore. Thanks for the update, Ian.
My pleasure.
This is the Business Lunch with Surat Marciano on 720 WGN.
Surat and Marciano with a business success story. Let's talk to Brian Leonard, President and CEO of Cardio Partner Resources. Welcome, Brian.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Let's talk first about something you just said while Orion was reporting on money. The first thing you did was contact the Chicago Chamber of Commerce, get involved with them. Your business is 10 years old. Talk about the beginning and how the chamber played a role in the startup.
Yeah, so I started Cardio Partner Resources almost 10 years ago now. I was working in EMS. I was an EMT at the time, and we would go on 911 calls to places of work and to homes where people would have medical or injury emergencies and not know what to do and not know how to save that person's life. They were just standing around waiting for the ambulance or the fire truck to show up. And unfortunately, in cases like sudden cardiac arrest, you know, within 10 minutes, your chance of survival is zero. And so I had this idea to be able to train businesses, workplaces, parents to save their loved ones in case of a medical or injury emergency. So in May of 2005, I founded Cardio Partner Resources with the sole mission of increasing the survival rate of cardiac arrest.
So it's just surviving cardiac arrest. It's not, you know, if you have an accident and you cut your head open or anything like that. It's in if somebody is having cardiac arrest.
So it's a whole gamut. So it's CPR training, it's first aid training, it's training on use of an automated external defibrillator. So it's everything from learning basic first aid skills, learning how to do the Heimlich maneuver, learning how to recognize when someone's having a heart attack or a stroke or a diabetic emergency. So it's learning the basics that keep you protected within the Good Samaritan law of Illinois.
So you were an EMT employee, and this is what you did. What happened? You went to the Chamber of Commerce, and did they help you get set up? Is that how it works?
Yeah, so I literally I grew up in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, started the business in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and just knew that Chicago was a great hub for travel, a great hub for business. And so I moved here not knowing a single person. I just knew the first call I had to make was the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce. And through the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce is the reason why we are where we are today. I've met great people like Richard Price and Glenn Tilton. I mean, Chicago is truly a Midwest city where people who are more than successful have taken the time to mentor young entrepreneurs like myself and give us a chance to do business with companies like Walgreens and CVS.
And now how do you do business with those companies?
Yeah, so we are now the fourth largest American Heart Association and Red Cross training center in the country. In 2015, we'll train over 100,000 people in CPR. We train every Walgreens, CVS, Walmart, pharmacist in the country.
Employees who work in all these places.
Correct.
You're talking about.
Yep. So for Walgreens alone, we train over 20,000 pharmacists across the country that are certified in every store in Walgreens to respond to medical.
So you don't deal with the general public?
We do. Yep. We deal with the general public. We deal with parents, loved ones.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how many lives have been saved on account of this?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give
I'm
you
sure it's hard to measure.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. We had a gym in New York yesterday that used an AED and CPR and a 54-year-old physician that shocked someone's heart within 36 seconds, and he's alive today because they were trained in how to do CPR and how to use an AED and respond before the ambulance arrives. So,
and where can people who are interested in training themselves, where can they have access to this machinery that is actually going to be able to save somebody's life? Because there's only so much you can do if you don't have the equipment, right?
Yeah, I mean, CPR and basic first aid skills will only buy so much time, but you can go to our website at cardiopartners.com, get information on first aid kits. They make defibrillators, portable defibrillators for the home that someone with no medical experience can use. It tells you everything you need to do. It walks you through the process, as well as getting the training itself and learning basic things like how to recognize if your loved one's having a heart attack or a stroke or any kind of medical emergency.
You've trained tens of thousands of people. What's the most important aspect of the training? What do we need to know, and where are we falling short?
Yeah, so I think, you know, falling short number one is, you know, in the city of Chicago, we have a great EMS system, but they're overburdened. There's sometimes long response times for EMS, so the first thing is calling 911 as soon as possible. You know, the survival rate for cardiac arrest in the city of Chicago is only 5%. And it's a leading
5%. Is that 5%. Because of the length of time that it takes for an ambulance to arrive?
Yeah, I mean, it's just things like the Chicago Police Department not having AEDs in their squad cars. It's the, you know, the response time for first responders. It's the number of AEDs out in the community.
So what can we do? What can we do at home or at work?
So I think at workplaces, it's, you know, it's a great thing to offer CPR training. It's great for home. It's great for the workplace. You're protected by Illinois state law called the Good Samaritan Law. So doing something as simple as getting trained in CPR, as well as, again, there are state protections in Illinois that create zero liability for deploying an automated external defibrillator, which again, were made for someone who has no medical experience can use it and actually save someone's life.
My mom was actually saved. Her life was saved because she actually went into cardiac arrest when she was in the ambulance already. Wow. And we still look back and say, what if she hadn't been? What if she had been somewhere else? Yeah. It was a matter of seconds.
I think we have great confidence in the wonderful men and women who work in the EMT areas here around Chicago. But I'm a little nervous. Well, I'm a little nervous about before you get to the ambulance.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of the whole process of someone having a medical emergency, you have to call 911. They have to dispatch police, fire, EMS. If you're in the 30th story of a building, they have to come through traffic. They have to find you. They have to go up the elevator, find the victim, take their shirt off, assess the situation, you know, and within 4 minutes, you have temporary brain damage. Within 6 minutes, you can have permanent brain damage. So time is of the essence. And so if you can recognize, and one of the biggest things too is recognizing when your loved ones are having a heart attack or a stroke, you know, recognizing the chest pain. And it's different for women than it is for men. Women have what are called silent heart attacks.
Yeah.
Men have these crushing chest pain, more of obvious symptoms. So
it's all very scary. And what is your main competition? Who are you competing against? Are there a lot of companies like yours?
You know, there's not on a national level. You know, we have probably 3 or 4 competitors that can compete on a national level going after Fortune 500 companies. So there are some kind of regional and mom and pop companies, but we really focus on the larger national scale companies.
We're glad you moved the business to Chicago.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes,
it's very interesting and very educational.
And helpful. Cardio Partner Resources in the River North area. Thanks to the president and CEO, Brian Leonard. Take care.
This is WGN's Business Lunch with Surratt and Merciano.